Thank you, Ken.
Hear me okay?
Good. We're going to have a special 2 weeks. I'm going to be teaching this week and next week about one of the most important subjects that we could talk about today. Before we start tonight, I want to do a word association game. I want you to associate a person with what their office is or was. I think you'll understand. I'm going to give the name first, then you just tell me what office did they hold or presently hold. First name, the late Ted Kennedy.
Senator.
Senator, excellent. We know it. Very good. Okay, this is going to be a tough one now. Obama.
President of the United States.
Very good. Third and last, Jesus Christ. Savior is a title, not an office. Messiah is a title, not an office. Lord, that's a title, not an office. What else? Pardon?
He had no office.
Oh, yes, he does. Presently, yes, he does. Very muchly so. The office that Jesus Christ presently maintains is our high priest on our behalf. Dee, would you please pass some of these out? I have plenty. Here, I'll go over here. Any more? Do you think you might need more?
One more.
Oh, sure. Take as many as you want. As is my custom, I give handouts so that you can take it home, examine it, look at it for yourself. And some of you may not have brought your Bibles or could not bring your Bibles. And I have these scriptural readings that we'll be doing tonight contained within this handout. We're going to begin tonight with part one, the title, Jesus Christ, Our High Priest. Where and what is Jesus doing today? Have you ever thought about that? We know that He ascended. He sat down at the right hand of God, the Father. But what is He doing? Well, that's going to be our subject for the next couple weeks. Let's look at the introduction. First page. After the ascension of Jesus Christ that occurred 40 days after His resurrection, during which time He spoke of the things concerning the kingdom of God to His apostles, I give you the scriptural reference, Acts 1, 1 through 4, He began His most important ministry on the behalf of His people. Can you catch that? His most important ministry on the behalf of His people. His present ministry is based upon His once-for-all sin offering on the cross at Calvary. On the one hand, without His once-for-all sacrifice for sins, Jesus Christ's current ministry is meaningless. For His present ministry, and we're going to talk about what that ministry is based on His sacrifice. On the other hand, without Jesus Christ's present ministry, His past sin offering on Calvary is inadequate. For we still could not approach the holy God as His people without Christ performing His present duty or His present office. In other words, both Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice for our sins and His present ministry are absolutely essential and inseparable, for one is not effective without the other. That is, they complement each other. His death on the cross and His present ministry, which is our high priest, complements each other. If He was not our high priest, His death on the cross would be meaningless. And I'm going to show you how that works out in Scripture. So, third paragraph, where is Jesus today? What essential role is He performing for us today before God? As a believer in Jesus Christ, how important is it for me to understand what Jesus is doing on my behalf and the repercussions if I do not? That is, if I do not understand it. And what should be my personal response to His present ministry? These and other important issues will be answered in the coming weeks as we discuss and examine the Scriptures together. Let me say with all earnestness that I do not know of any subject matter of greater or more immediate importance to the people of God, that's you and me, than what we're going to be discussing as it relates to our personal walk with the Lord. And on the next page, which is on the back of page 1, I give an outline and the scriptures that we're going to be examining. Roman numeral 1, I think we all know this. Jesus Christ ascended and sat down at the right hand of God. Now, does anybody here did not know that? See, we all know that. But what we don't know or didn't know is the significance why he sat down at the right hand of God and where that is. A, under Roman numeral 1, after presenting himself as being resurrected for 40 days, during which he continued to teach his apostles concerning the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ ascended into the sky, notice that, or in the heavens, or into the heaven, and out of sight. Jesus Christ was how many days in the grave?
Three.
That's right. And then, at the time of his resurrection, and subsequently, he was among those giving adequate proofs, conclusive proofs, that he was resurrected and that he was truly alive. How did he do this? Can you think of any that are given in the scriptures?
He appeared to different ones.
That's right. He appeared to different ones. He appeared to the apostles. Who saw him first?
Mary.
Right. Exactly. Who else did he appear to? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to more than 500 at one time. Excellent. Luke 24, the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. What else? Can you think of anything else? In the upper room. And then later when they were in the upper room and Thomas was there. Very good. Anything else? Very good. Yeah, and remember when he appeared to his apostles and Peter, and he told them to cast in the nets, and they cast them out, and the nets were bursting full of fish. And he ate with them, didn't he?
Response that there were those that believed without having, and his inference was without having to touch me, or put a hand in the side, and believe. Believed otherwise.
Yeah, he said, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe, which would include us for sure.
I think that's in John.
Yes, it is. It's in John.
It's
yeah, it's right at the end of John.
Yeah.
And then Thomas fell down before him and said, my Lord, my God, because he realized that Jesus was resurrected, had been resurrected, or is resurrected. Well, when Jesus ascended, at the bottom of page 2, Jesus Christ passed through and above the heavens. He passed through and above the heavens. What would that mean in our vernacular? If Jesus passed through the heavens and above, where is he? Do you ever think of the creation as being finite? How big is the universe? Well, that's something different other than what's here in this text I'm citing from Hebrews 4:14. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Notice he didn't get lodged in the heavens. He passed through them. And we think of the heavens as what?
Infinite.
Yeah, we think of it as infinite. But there's a stopping somewhere. He passed through them. And we're going to see where he passed through is to some place that is not made with human hands and not of this creation. That's what the text says. Hebrews 7:26 says, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. So for us to say that Jesus is in heaven and a part of this creation is not completely correct. He's outside of this creation. He's beyond it. Have you ever thought of it like that? It's a little tough, isn't it? My mind cannot wrap around that. How Jesus Christ passed through the heavens and he's someplace that's beyond the stellar sky. And even if I had a Hubble telescope and could look as far as possible into all the galaxies, he's beyond that. On the third page, Jesus Christ, when he ascended, was appointed by God as high priest for his people. So Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, he was resurrected, and after 40 days, he ascended. And when he ascended, and where did he ascend? He passed through the heavens. We don't know yet, but he's just in the heavens. And we know that he's at the right hand. We're going to see that in a little bit. He's at the right hand of God. And God did something. Look at Hebrews 5, verses 1 through 10. Speaking of the historical high priest, Aaronic priesthood, the author of Hebrews says, for every high priest. And how many high priests are there? One. You never had any more than one high priest. How many priests? Plural. Many, 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 many. And the author of Hebrews says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And he's speaking of men like Aaron. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself. See, when Aaron acted on the behalf of the people, he had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins first before he could offer a sacrifice for the people to whom he was ministering, because he himself was a sinner. Verse 4, and no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, and this is from Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Just as he says also in another passage, and this the next quote is from Psalm 110, you are a priest into the ages according to the order of Melchizedek. You are a priest into the ages according to the order of Melchizedek. And the author of Hebrews is going to make it very clear that the high priesthood of Christ and the priesthood that he sustains at this time never ends. It will never be changed. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. How was he heard? God raised him from the dead. See? That's how he was heard. We know he was heard. Verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, and in the context, learning obedience through the things he suffered, he became to all those who obey him the source of everlasting salvation by being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, how important is it for Jesus to be designated as our high priest? Would we have everlasting salvation? Yes or no, if he was not our high priest?
No.
No, we would not. Once for all, he paid for sin. Once for all. But that would have been no good unless he became our high priest. In Hebrews 3, the author says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Notice what's supposed to be our confession? What's supposed to be part of our confession? Jesus Christ is my high priest. That is supposed to be part of my confession. Why is that important? Well, we're going to see in the remaining time and probably much more next week. He, that is Jesus, was faithful to him, that's God, who appointed him as Moses also was in all his, that's God's house. Now I want to make a special note here. The high priest, the ministry, the role of the high priest only functioned for his people. No one outside. Jesus Christ's ministry today. And when did it begin? It began when he sat down at the right hand of God and has continued for hundreds and hundreds of years. And his only ministry is for you and you and you and you, 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 you and me. And all those who believe in him. That's all. The ministry of a high priest, when Aaron was high priest and those high priests that were subsequent to him, their role, their ministry was only for Israel. No one else. Jesus Christ's ministry is only for us, we who believe. That's all. There is no one else. His mind, his thinking, his aspiration is only for you. Only for you. Only for you. Therefore, verse 17, he had to be made like his brother in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. We may be unfaithful, but who's faithful? He is. He will always be faithful as a high priest. Always. There's never a moment that before God he is unfaithful to us. So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Were all the high priests, were they faithful?
No.
Only if they didn't think about the things of God. They thought about their own things, how they could achieve more power. They were after the power, the money, the position. But their thoughts were not toward God. But Jesus Christ is merciful and faithful in the things pertaining to God. And for what purpose? To make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, propitiation, that's a big word, isn't it? We're going to discuss that in just a little bit. Roman numeral number 2. After Jesus was appointed high priest by God, he sat down at the right hand of God in the heavenly sanctuary in the Holy of Holies, indicating that his once-for-all sin offering is sufficient to make propitiation for his people for all time. For all time! Now, we've got to step back here and think about something historical. What day did the high priest enter into the Holy of Holies? One day a year. What day? The only day. It was the most holiest day of God's calendar, according to Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 23. The most holiest day. One day a year. The most holiest. It was the day in which only the high priest was working. All other priests stopped what they were doing. All the people, if they were plowing fields, they would stop and come to the temple or the tabernacle earlier in the wilderness, and they would come before the Lord. And what did the high priest do? Yes, and what day was that? The Day of Atonement, or the Day of Propitiation. Have you heard of Day of Atonement? How about Yom Kippur? Day, Yom, in Hebrew means day, Yom. Kippur means atonement or propitiation. Yom Kippur, the most holiest day of all days in a year. And only one man was doing anything. And what was he doing? Well, he first of all had to make a sacrifice for himself. Then he had to make a sacrifice for the people. And then what did he do? He laid his hands on the sacrifice. And what were the people doing while his hands were on the sacrifice? They were confessing their sins. They were confessing their sins. The sacrifice was made. And based upon that sacrifice, as a high priest put his hands upon the sacrifice, the people who had come to the tabernacle or later the temple, and they would come on that day and they came before their high priest confessing their sins. The only day of the year they confessed their sins, the Day of Atonement. It was the day in which God cleansed them from their sins. God designated the high priest. He designated his offering, and he designated the place where the high priest was to make that offering. And then after the people had confessed their sins, he took the blood of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. That was the only time and the only person who ever entered the Holy of Holies. The only time. One day a year. One day. Then what happened next year? He would have to do it again. How about the year after? If he was still alive, he would have to do it again. How about the year after? If he was still alive, he would have to do it again. How about the year after?
Same thing.
Hundreds of years went by. And as the high priesthood went from person to person, designated by God, they would enter into the Holy of Holies only one day a year. That's the only day they went into the Holy of Holies. The only day. And there was only one function that they had. That was after the people confessed their sins, he offered the sacrifice before the Holy God. So I said, number two, or Roman numeral number two, after Jesus was appointed high priest by God, he sat down at the right hand of God in the heavenly sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, indicating that his once for all sin offering is sufficient to make propitiation for his people for all time. How could he do this? Well, unlike animal sacrifices offered by previous high priests, and the first one was Aaron, by the way, Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice permitted him to sit down. Why did the high priest have to come back year after year? The author says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, "For the law, since it has a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near." And the term perfect in Hebrews, we're going to see, is a person, a worshiper, one who draws near to God, who has their conscience cleansed of sin. Jesus Christ, as our high priest, can cleanse us from any of your sins. And I don't care what sin it is, because He died on Calvary, His offering is sufficient. See, otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. Because, you know, the high priest had to do it year after year after year. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Period. No animal sacrifice ever took away sins. Never. 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 Hebrews 10, 11, and 12. "Every priest stands daily," talking about, of course, at the time that the author was speaking, he was talking about the priests in the temple area. "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he," referring to Christ, "having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God." When did Jesus sit down at the right hand of God? When God appointed him, but what else? After he made the one-time sacrifice. Next page. "Jesus sat down in the heavenly tabernacle at the right hand of God in the sanctuary, that is the Holy of Holies." Now, what is significant about that? What is significant about Jesus today being the Holy of Holies? Today. What person was in the Holy of Holies? What only one person could be in the Holy of Holies? Who is that? The high priest. On what day? The Day of Atonement. Jesus Christ is in the heavenly sanctuary today. For what reason? To make propitiation, to cleanse us from our sins. Based upon what? Upon His one-time sacrifice at Calvary. Without Jesus' ministry today, that one-time sacrifice would be useless. But the office He holds as our high priest, He is making that sacrifice work day after day after day, every time we sin. But there's a hitch. We're going to see that in a few minutes. Hebrews 9, 11, and 12. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this creation. Notice that? The heavenly tabernacle is not of this creation. It was not made of the things of this creation. "And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained everlasting redemption." Having obtained everlasting redemption. Hallelujah! He's our high priest. See, and this will be our last. Jesus Christ's ministry as our high priest is to offer propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation is a very religious term. It means in the Hebrew Scriptures, when animals were offered on the Day of Atonement, it meant to cover. But Jesus as our high priest, it means to cleanse. To cleanse. To cleanse what? What does He cleanse? Have you ever wondered why you're supposed to confess your sins? 1 John 1, 5 through 2, and this is our last set of verses tonight. This is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in the context, when John speaks of light, he's speaking of the holiness of God. And in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that is, with in holiness, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Last page. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from most of our sins. All! Yes, hear that? All! I don't care what sin you have committed. Jesus Christ's death is sufficient. It's sufficient. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. I don't sin. Well, just ask a friend. Ask your spouse, perhaps, if you have one still. They'll tell you that you sin. If we confess our sins, notice that verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, that is God a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Beloved, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. There is only one high priest. There's only one high priest who is serving in the Holy of Holies in the heavenly tabernacle. There is only one high priest. And He is only in one place today. So hopefully, if somebody should ask you during the week, where is Jesus Christ? You will tell them, in the Holy of Holies. What is He doing? He is making propitiation. He is my high priest. That is the office that He is fulfilling for me, today. While it's still called today, as the author of Hebrews will say. Because there will come a time when He will step out of that Holy of Holies and no longer will propitiation for sins be allowed. No longer will you be allowed to confess your sins. Today is the day to confess your sins. Just as it was when the Day of Atonement, the most holiest day of the calendar, one day a year, today is only today. Not tomorrow and not yesterday. Today is the day in which Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, making propitiation. And there's a catch. If we confess our sins, and that's where we're going to stop tonight. We're going to pick it up next week with 1 John verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. Well, Father, thank You for Your loving grace towards us to provide such a great and merciful high priest. May we confess our sins, knowing that the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient. That there is no sin that I've committed. None, Father, that Jesus cannot cleanse me from. Oh, God, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the advocate that sits at Your right hand. Thank You. Hallelujah. For our high priest. Amen.